Bibles, turn to the book of Esther. Back in the Old Testament, Esther is right there between, I think it's Nehemiah, and it could be that one's, could be Nahum, but it's right there in the Old Testament. It's kind of a hard place to find, but you'll see that there, the book of Esther. I'm going to start a brand new series today on what I call timeless truths. And so that gives me a wide gamut of things to touch upon that are going to be things that will help you not just today, not just this week, not just this month, but it'll be timeless every day of your life. If you'll take some things, write some things down, take some notes here, it'll be some things that'll help you to have a longevity in your walk with God. And I really believe that God's speaking very strong today about weariness of our hearts, weariness of our souls. So this morning I'm going to speak about how God gives strength to the weary, strength to the weary. I want to mention also to take note as a side thing here, we're having a trip to Costa Rica taking place in July. There's signups for that in the back as well. The first interest meeting for that's 1 week from this coming Monday night. So be thinking about that also, that trip to Costa Rica, because we're getting folks on board in Milwaukee. I just came back from Milwaukee a few days ago, and those guys are just totally pumped up to send a team there, a strong team from that part of our world for the first time for them on a trip like this in a Latin American nation. So that's going to be a great time. But today again is called He Gives Strength to the Weary. It's about having a balance between work and rest. God wants us to have balance in our lives, balance between work and balance between rest, and be those who take and realize again that if the devil and the enemy can't take and get us into a place of passivity and a place of laziness, it gets us into a place of extreme sometimes, of too much work, too much pressure, and too many things going on. God wants us to be able to balance out the extremes of our lives and not have any extremes at all as much as can be possible in our lives. God wants to bring balance to us. We're living right now in a very, very high pressure, high stress time as far as the world scene is concerned. And I've seen many believers around us that are going through times of undue stress, undue anxiety, even sometimes undue sicknesses because the stress of life is weighing down so heavy upon them. I believe God wants to give us today a spirit of grace to not find ourselves just spinning around in circles, getting ourselves more and more wearied in these last days, being those that are fainting, those that are wearing out, those that are getting burned out, but those that are being recharged, those that are being revamped, those that are being revived, and those that are being full of God's life and God's strength in these last days. Amen. Thank God for that one amen. I pray to God that you guys are going to take it all, buy into this. I don't want to be one who's burned out in the last days. I want to be one who's on fire for Jesus Christ. Be like those five wise virgins who had enough oil until the bridegroom came back there for the people upon the face of the earth who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When I was in Milwaukee again on Wednesday night, I always pray for snow to fall in that city when I go there. And so far, most years, God's honored my prayer, but this time, God was one day late. And so the 3 to 6 inch snowfall happened the day after I actually flew out of there. I flew out in the morning Thursday. The snow hit at noon Thursday. So I need to pray harder next time. But they're going through, kind of like we're going through ourselves, a very, very warm winter, a very dry winter. And so they need more moisture in that part of the world as well. But in that service on Wednesday night, the Hendersons are on radio almost every single day, and they advertised that I'd be there speaking that night, a guest speaker coming from Austin, Texas, Pflugerville, Texas, to Milwaukee that evening. And so they had a first-time guest come in because of the radio announcement. This guy was just a real tall guy that looked a little bit rough around the edges. He had a great big old knife scar going down the side of his cheek here. And he caught me after the service, and he said to me, he said, Pastor, brother, whatever you want to call me, he said, do you believe Mark 11:24 is true? Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for in when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And so, do you believe that, brother? I said, yeah, I believe that's true. He said, well, about 2 days ago, I actually caught my car on fire and my four dogs inside the car burned up and died. I'm believing God to get my dogs back. Can you pray for me about my dogs coming back? Do you believe God can do that? And I said, brother, all things really are possible, but I believe God's going to give you probably more so the grace for sorrow and for grieving and for pain. I said, I don't really see myself having the faith right now today to see your dogs come back from the dead and come back there from the ashes. I haven't reached that level of faith quite yet. And then but one of the advantages of also being a guest speaker in another church is there's a great pastor in this church. His name is Walter Henderson. And this guy would be great, very, very good to go talk to about things like this. This guy proceeds and goes on beyond this and says, well, do you believe I'll see my dogs in heaven? And I said, well, the only thing I do know, brother, is in heaven there's no pain, no sorrow, no grieving, and no regrets. And so I can't promise you your dogs will be there in heaven, but I do promise you you'll have no regrets, no pain, no sorrow, and so forth and so on. What I'm trying to say here is, we can sometimes find ourselves taking scriptures or one scripture like this, Mark 11:30 or 24, and going to extremes with that. You got to always take interpret scripture with scripture and receive the whole entire counsel of the Lord. Amen. You can't just take one verse by itself and build an entire doctrine, an entire belief system on that. That scripture also defines scripture, and realize again, God gives you balance in your lives. Amen. So we do have all things we pray for in faith and prayer, but it does take, again, great faith to see, I believe, dogs raised from the dead who've been burned in a fire. And I have not quite attained that quite yet in my life, but I pray that God will give grace to that man to see that pain, that grief go from him by God's Spirit, okay? So now if you're going to write down some notes today, I want you to write down some things here about how God gives strength to the weary and how God takes care of those who are going through times of tiredness, times of fatigue, and times of being unduly stressed out perhaps in their lives. You're going to pray at the end of this service here to see God, I believe, touch some people also right here in this place who might be victims of this. I believe very, very strongly there's folks right now today, you need this message. It's a timely message. It's something God's going to minister to your heart about this, and God's going to help you have some wisdom to have some divine balance released in your life concerning rest and concerning work in your life. So number one, we can get out of balance. We can find ourselves out of balance in our work life, in our family life, and in our church life. God wants us to be able to work, provide for our families, amen. God wants to give jobs to us, but God also wants your job not to be a bondage to you, but a place you love going to, a place you like going to, and a place you find yourself going to, then coming home from, and finding rest from that workplace somehow. Even your family, God wants you as fathers and mothers to bless your children. But God also says have balance even for your children. Some folks' lives are so wrapped up around their children, they're playing a human taxi almost 24 hours a day. And they're doing things to get their kids involved in all kinds of sports and activities and shopping and fun and entertainment. These things are all good. These things are all important. These things must also come in balance. Amen. I'm saying again, bless your child, bless your sons, bless your daughters, but find the balance with that. And realize again that God wants balance in your family towards your wife, towards your husband, towards your children, and towards your life. And also even in church, we can sometimes find ourselves so involved even in church life that we find ourselves having no time at all for our own families at home. I always encourage again the praise team, the worship team, the ushers team, intercessors team, the pastoral team here. Do your work unto God as unto the Lord, but always find a place of laughter, a place of joy, a place of rest, and a place of a break from even the church life and ministry in your own personal life. Amen. God wants us to enjoy things that God gives to us, but balance must come there lest we find ourselves getting burned out by things we're doing out of balance perhaps in our lives. Esther chapter 2 verse 15 gives a great example of how God's will is accomplished in Esther's life by her being actually a person of balance, also what she does to actually please the king, and also her own uncle obeying him, a man named Mordecai. God brings forth victory, God brings forth breakthrough, God brings forth lasting results because Esther learns to have submission, godliness, and balance all wrapped into one and displays those in Esther chapter 2, chapter 1, and the whole entire book as well shows this to us. Verse 15 says here, "Now when the turn came for Esther to go before the king, who was the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his own daughter to go into the king, she requested, requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised her to take in. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her in that place." God has not called us to be driven. God has called us to be obedient and to be balanced in our lives. Esther, it says here, asked for nothing but, I'm saying nothing but's very good in our lives, nothing but what the king or what her own uncle and what her own advisors told her to have there. That's what she wore. That's what she dressed like. That's what she looked like. That's what she obtained for her personal life to impress that king and become his wife in due time, in due season. The Bible says there are many dozens of ladies besides Esther that also were in that place trying to impress the king. All that week, they went out and bought Maybelline. They bought Estee Lauder. They had eye treatments. They had cucumbers on their eyes. They had tanning beds. They had tanning salons. They had massages. They had tummy tucks, chin tucks. They had all kinds of Botox in their lips. They had all kinds of enhancements down there. They had weaves in their hair. These guys had everything they get their hands on because they thought that is what will impress the king. But these ladies were all, I'm sure, totally worn out trying to do things to impress the king by their flesh, by their desires, by their culture, and by their own human wisdom. Esther says, I'm going to do nothing but what I am advised to do. And by doing that, she was rested, she was calm, she was relaxed, and she actually got the place of favor released in her life. In this instance here of Esther chapter 2 and verse 15. Just like in nature also, if you're going to find yourself staying healthy in the spirit, in the soul, in the body, there must be balance in your life. God wants you to have a strong spirit, a strong mind, a strong soul, and a strong body, but there must be balance in every part of the triune nature of your very being. If one of these gets out of whack, the whole house of cards comes tumbling down. And so I'm saying again, exercise when you can for your bodies. Try to eat right. Try to get enough sleep. Try to read some books, do some jigsaw puzzles. Let your mind be exercised beyond just watching sports and television and so forth, things like this that are passive. And then also, of course, feed your spirit man by reading the Bible, by praising God, by being silent before God sometimes, and just think about the promises and good things God's done for you and God's done to you. But bring balance in your life, in the triune nature, as much as you can in your life. God gives us, again, sometimes times of pruning. And I believe right now in 2012, in February today, is a time to think about saying, Father God, what do you want to prune off the body part of my life, off the soulish part of my life, but of course, I believe not the spiritual part of my life. God may start saying, it's time to take and reduce some TV watching. It's time to reduce sometimes some travel time in your cars. It's time to reduce perhaps some video game playing. It's time to reduce perhaps some sports watching. It's time to reduce sometimes some two-hour telephone calls that you're making throughout the week. Cut those telephone calls down to about maybe 5 or 10 minutes most of the time and say, God, give me grace to talk less and talk shorter and have then more strength and more time for the rest of the day. Amen. Computer time, internet time, all these things are time that can actually give us more stress, make us more busy and compact and squeeze things together to make our lives more stressful, more busy, and not really productive for God's kingdom at all. Amen? One of the best ways, again, to get burned out and worn out is to be and to become ineffective is to try and make everybody around you happy. God has not called us to make everybody around us happy. Amen? You know, I myself tend to be kind of a peacemaker type person and a pastor, of course, as well. And I've learned a long time ago, I cannot make everybody, even in this church, happy all the time. Do you understand that? And so I got to take and listen to what requests are, what needs are. But I can point to every single person in this congregation. I love all you guys very, very deeply. But every one of you has your own unique thing that you need in life. I can provide some of those things, not all of those things. Cheryl can do some of those things, not all of those things. That's why we have leaders here. We have mentors that are here. We have folks that are here also to help meet the needs in your life, things we cannot find time for ourselves. And the main thing is I can't even make my own family happy all the time. I must say, Father God, help me become more like you are and do those things in balance for all the folks around me by your grace, by your wisdom, and by your direction. The good news is I believe most folks at Tree of Life Church are happy. Amen? 10 of you. Praise God. We're going to have a happy release today. If you're not happy right now, I'm going to tell you right now, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And God's going to make you into a happy person before we get through here today, this morning as well, because God wants you joyful and happy in Him as only God can bring that to you. Look now at Matthew chapter 11, Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29. This great promise that Jesus gives to us will be at the close of our service also today as well. And Jesus says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. There are so many folks like that today in our culture, in our society. They are in labor and they are heavy laden and they're working themselves in the ground. And I will give you rest, he says. Take my yoke upon you and then learn from me, for I am gentle and I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, is what God is saying. In Jewish culture, when a yoke was made for an oxen back in these days, they would actually take and measure the oxen's neck to get a perfect fit for the yoke going around his neck. There'd be no chafing, no rubbing. It'd be a very, very smooth fit, a very light fit, no cumbersomeness, and there'd be no excess weight. There'd be no excess rubbing, no edges, nothing there to take and chafe that oxen's neck. It was an easy yoke, a yoke that was full of, that was burden type free, and a yoke that was easy to follow the work and labor being done by that oxen in the fields day after day. God gives you and I what's called an easy yoke that is custom fitted for you. Wherever God guides you, God provides for you His grace, His strength, His joy, His mercy. You'll love what you do for the Lord. If you find yourself out of peace, you find yourself out of grace, you find yourself going through burnouts in life, you're probably doing something God's not called you to do, because God's yoke is easy and God's burden is light. It is not burdensome, it is not hard, it is not difficult to do what God calls you to do. Number two, God will also will help us find a place of rest. God will help us find that place of rest. I'm praying to God today that God leads us and guides us, if we need this today, into a place of spiritual and divine rest. We don't find ourselves striving to bear the fruit that God's called us to bear in this short life we live on this earth. After Jesus Christ, the Bible says, ministered time and time again. You notice here in the Bible, He always found a place of rest after ministry. He'd go off in the mountains someplace. He'd go off by himself someplace. He would just, I think, sometimes lay back and just give a great sigh to God, give praise to the Father, bless His name, and say, now it's time to receive from you, Father God. I'm worn out. I'm wiped out. I've cast out devils. I've taught the people. I've laid hands on the sick, and I am exhausted. I just lay before you, oh God. May you recharge my batteries right now, as only you can do. I'm saying this morning here, let's all find a way to recharge the batteries that God put in us in the way that God calls us to do that. For you ladies, it might be shopping. It might be massage. It might be a spa treatment. It might be watching an old classic love movie like we watched a few nights ago here. You know, Cheryl and I said, we can tell we're kind of getting old now. We're actually enjoying these old classics like the Harvey Girls with Judy Garland and Angela, Lansbury. Because these movies have no cussing, no blood and guts, no massive violence, no dog-eat-dog, no trying to kill each other. They're just good, clean movies that have a good, clean message to them. And we're in good company with Joyce Meyer herself and watching movies like this. Amen. So you may call that an embarrassment to your own pastor, but I'm saying we need to get ourselves not full of junk in our time of rest, but a time to get our batteries recharged and refilled by some good, wholesome entertainment. In Jesus' name, amen. I like the old Andy Griffith shows once in a while. Barney Fife makes me laugh. Barney Fife is funny. A lot funnier than some of these rude, crude guys on the Comedy Channel, amen. And so I'm saying again, find some good, clean, wholesome stuff, but do find something that recharges your battery. It may be bicycle riding. It might be jogging. It might be exercise. It might be dirt bike riding. It might be playing golf. It might be tennis. I'm saying do something somehow, some way that'll recharge your batteries back up again, a place of rest for your lives. Amen. Let's look now in the Old Testament also at Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20 starting in verse 1. This is called the Ten Commandments. This is what's trying to be banned by many of our government courts across our in court rooms or courthouses across our entire nation, unfortunately. And I want to say a side note right now again, be praying about persecution for the church in our country, because you'd be amazed at what's being done behind the scenes right now to cause Christians to lose more and more freedoms in our country in the years ahead. They're trying to ban even some scriptures in the Bible from being preached from pulpits like this as time goes by, because it's called hate speech, okay? So be aware of that and realize again that God does not want us to be passively sitting by while the enemy gains ground from the church in these last days, okay? Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 says, "And God spoke all these words, and He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage." Then verse 8 goes on and says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." That means set apart for God. "6 days you shall labor and do all your work." Let's say those three words together right now. Let's say it all together. All your work. One more time. All your work. Now, God would not say those three words if it was impossible to do that. How many folks know that God does not lie? And God does not say do anything that God doesn't give you grace to do. So God says in 6 days, do all your work. And also he says also do all your labor as well. But the seventh day is what's called the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your sons, nor your daughters, nor your male servants, nor your female servants, nor your cattle, nor your strangers who are within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord God made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed the seventh day. Now this, again, is a very, very controversial thing to some folks. You say, well, this is all the law. This is all the Old Testament. We're under grace right now, or under new covenant truth right now. What I see God saying here is, he's not saying don't exert any energy on the seventh day. He's saying don't do things that actually provides wealth and brings income perhaps to you. The thing you do to work to make money and to bring wealth to you, that's called your labor, that's called your workplace. He says put that aside one day out of every single week. On that seventh day, it is a day to be blessed by God as a place of refreshing, a place of rejuvenation, a place of refocus, a place of rest from your labor and work at the job you clock into and clock out of every single day beyond that seventh day. Now again, nobody goes to hell by disobeying that commandment, okay? I don't see us going to hell from this. What God is doing is God's giving us mercy. God is saying, I wired you guys, I made you guys, I know what you need to tick in this life. It's not to give you bondage, it's to give you freedom and mercy from bondage, okay? The day of rest is something God made us to need to have because God knows we need to have rest on the seventh day. And that seventh day of rest, it might be cleaning out your garage. You may love cleaning out your garage. You might love polishing your car, cleaning out your interior, doing yard work, mowing the grass, putting out the flowers, trimming all the hedge. Those are things some guys love to do on the day off, what they call the day of rest. And ladies may just love doing dishes that day. They love vacuuming. They may love just taking care of all the kids. No. They love making their husbands do those things on their day of rest. Amen? Give them a honey-do list. Here, honey, it's your day off. Here's your honey-do list. So you talk about that yourselves after church is over here. After you get beyond the parking lot, way down the street somewhere for safe driving purposes. Okay? But I see the day of rest, again, as a thing that's not legalistic. It's not a religious bondage thing. It's for your own good. It does not mean don't exert energy. The Pharisees took this truth, this word, to an extreme. And they said, okay, you can't go beyond a stone's throw this day. You can't pick grain in a cornfield like Jesus Christ and the disciples did. They rebuked the disciples and said, your disciples are picking grain here on the Sabbath day. They're doing some work there. Jesus Christ said, you guys are crazy. He said, back in the Old Testament, he said, didn't David take consecrated bread there and give it to his own men in hunger the day of need? And also, if your oxen's in the ditch on the Sabbath day, get the oxen out. Use your common sense is what Jesus says. So it's not a day to take and just kind of sit back and just be on the couch all day and on your blessed assurance all day long. It's time to go ahead and be a person who does something there that's not perhaps making money for you, but it's something that's restful and peaceful to you. If your neighbor's house catches on fire, though, help your neighbor put the fire out. Amen? If your tire goes flat, fix your flat tire on the Sabbath day. God will not curse you and send plagues down to you. I also want to say the other part of that is, well, you're also being legalistic, Pastor Mike, because that's an Old Testament, Old Covenant truth. Well, the Bible also says in the same chapter, same book, thou shalt not kill. Is that an Old Covenant, Old Testament truth that's been done away with now? Can we kill folks now? It also says don't commit adultery. Can we now commit adultery today because that's bondage? That's the Old Testament covenant truth. See, there's truths back in the Old Testament there that go right through the cross into the New Testament there in a balanced type way, okay? So God gives you grace, I believe, to have wisdom to find a day of rest in your lives. The quality of what we do won't be good if we find ourselves worn out while we're doing that. No employer wants a worn-out employee coming to work on Monday morning. He's got a hangover. He's partied all weekend. He's totally exhausted. His eyes are bloodshot. He can barely crawl into his desk cubicle. He's got 5 hours of sleep the entire weekend. No boss wants an employee like that. Amen? And so you can't be a good husband, a good wife, a good father, a good mother, a good believer in Jesus Christ even, if you're always worn out and exhausted and burned out all the time. God wants rest and refreshing to come to your lives. I want to also say, those that are here that are kind of getting up in years, like myself perhaps even, I found that as the decades go by, I can't do what I did back in my 20s. You know, on these short-term missions trips, these guys that are 19, 21, 22 years old, they can go out there and they can work all day in the Costa Rican or whatever kind of sun. They can sling bricks and mortar and so forth, and they're wide-eyed and bushy-tailed at 1 o'clock in the morning that night. They're telling jokes. They're drinking Coke and Pepsi. They're just having a great time of laughter and so forth. They get about 5 hours of sleep that night, it seems like. Get up the next day, do the same thing again and again and again. I'm saying, where has all that energy gone in my life? About every 10 years, our body clock makes a little tick, and things don't quite click the way they did the 10 years before that. Amen? So be aware of that. Start being aware that it's time to start finding some balance in your eating habits, in your exercise, in your sleeping patterns, in your 30s and your 40s, for your 50s and for your 60s. Amen? I was taught a great big giant truth that I've held on to so tightly by the man who's the late minister whose name was Del Witt. Del Witt came here and spoke right before he died a few years ago from Global Advance in Rockwall, Texas. He said that I learned a long time ago to always take, save the man, not the money. That's his philosophy. Save the man, not the money. I put that in practice time and time again. I realize as I get older in life, I can't always take and try to cut corners in finances. I don't waste money. I don't just blow money, but I don't also take and do some things sometimes I did in the past to always cut corners as far as finances are concerned. For example, about 2 or 3 years ago, Dr. Flint, I believe it was, and Jack Adams and the Hendersons all went to China together for a trip there. On the way back, our flight was going to be 8 to 9 to 10 hours long from Beijing, China to Chicago, Illinois. And so it's a long flight. And so in the ticket counter place, our check-in place for our boarding passes, they said, we have available here business class upgrades for $500. And we have economy plus upgrades for $150. And I thought to myself, I talked to Jack as well, and I said, you know, I have grace here for economy class economy plus upgrades. No grace right now for business class, perhaps, but I do have grace right now for 6 more inches of space on my knees and my legs flying for 8 or 9 hours going home. And so we plopped down our $300 between us there, and we flew economy plus the whole way home. The Holy Spirit spoke to me a long time back, or a few years back, and said to me, I want you to start having as much grace for hard living. I want you to have the same grace now for increased finances for your life to protect your body and bring also some comfort sometimes to your body. You see, we have grace sometimes for hard beds, cheap hotels, cockroaches, germs, and things all around us that are crawling in the night, okay? I've had grace for that for a long, long time. That grace is still on me for places I have to go to where those things exist. But if I can find a better room for $50 more, I'm going to grab it, okay? If I can get no cockroaches, no athlete's foot in the shower, no slimy things around me, I'm going to pay $50 more a night for that. Amen? Your permission or not, I'm going to do that. As I'm saying to you guys again, I face those things overseas on an ongoing basis. And I'm learning here very strongly, save the man, the woman, not the money. And I'm saying be balanced with that also as well, okay? Because God will give you grace for the cockroaches if that's all that's around you in some foreign countries. Now, most of our places we go to don't have cockroaches, okay? Don't be freaked out by that. But some places, yeah, some places have got pigs below us and pigs with open doors and flies coming out where we sleep at, okay? So some places are like that. God gives you grace for that. Okay, so moving on here. A good night's sleep prepares you for the day, and a day of rest prepares you for the week. And weeks of rest prepares you for months, and months of rest prepare you for the years of your life. I'm saying let's find balance in our lives with God's help. Mark chapter 2, verse 27, he says, Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So God knows that man needs a restful day, a day of rest, a Sabbath day, because God made that Sabbath day for mankind. You know, the Bible says even Jesus Christ himself, or even God himself, took and rested the seventh day. He made all the creation. He made all the universe, all the planets, all the stars, all of creation. In 6 days, he made all those things. And the Bible says on the seventh day, he rested. That word rested does not mean that God was totally worn out and exhausted and wiped out and kind of laid back in his lazy boy recliner and said, I've had enough. I need some rest right now. God never grows tired, never grows weary. That word rest means that God sat back and God admired all his hands had made. He saw mankind, he saw the animals, he saw the oceans, he saw the mountains, he saw the planets and the stars, and he said, it is good, it is good, it is good. And for one solid God day, he just rested from all of his labors and admired and enjoyed all the things he made across the entire universe. I'm saying the same thing for you and I. God wants us to be able to sit back and enjoy the things we've made with our hands. I think about Hector back there. Hector's going to be going away in about 6 days for a 2-month trip to New Mexico. This man goes in great big giant containers where they have water towers and petroleum containers, things like this, and he helps to paint the sides of those outside and inside at great heights. What Hector also, I believe, also does, though, when the painting is finished, he probably sits back there and goes back at a distance and says, look at what we have done. Look at that good paint job. Look at that great shiny obstacle right now that was once all bare and rusty perhaps. Now it's full of brand new paint, a brand new coating there. He can admire the work he did with his hands. The same thing is true of all housewives, of all mechanics, of all doctors, engineers. You can go back and say, look what my hands have done. It's a gift that God gives you to enjoy the works of your hands. Amen? Last of all, number three here. Number three is, being tired and being worn out will affect your spirit. Being tired and worn out will actually affect your spirit. You know, God even said in the Old Testament, when you plant your crops, make sure every seventh year you don't plant the crops in that land. Give that land a year of rest so the land might be rejuvenated there, replenished once again, and the nutrients might come back in that place to let you have longevity of crops in a great bumper way as the years go by. It'll do your body good to get rest. It also does your soul good to take and have a rest inside your own mind, inside your own soul. But also they found in medical science that your immune system responds in a great favorable way to rest in your body. Many sicknesses, many diseases, many autoimmune diseases take place by a lack of rest and by stress and by overworking in your bodies. I believe that sometimes allergies and flus come on quicker and faster by worn out people, burned out people, and those that are worn out in life. Your body will take and reject many things. If your body's rested up, if your body's got balance in that, it will resist and reject many diseases, many sicknesses, many contagious things won't grip your body if you find balance in your life as far as rest is concerned. When you're weary, when you're worn out, you won't feel like reading your Bible. You won't feel like praising God. You won't feel like praying to God. You won't feel like coming to a church service like this. You won't feel like witnessing the folks around you who need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're too busy. You're too worn out. You're too frazzled. You're too beyond your own limits. And God says your spirit man is now doing nothing to advance as far as his kingdom is concerned. I even believe that many people are not getting saved right now because too many believers are too busy. They're too burned out, they're too worn out, and they're too frazzled to tell folks about the love of Jesus Christ in their workplace, their neighborhoods, the highways and byways of life. May God bring balance to our lives as only he can do. Ask yourself this morning this important question. Are you enjoying the things of your life? Are you enjoying your wife? Are you enjoying that husband God gave you? Are you enjoying your children? Are you enjoying your job? Are you enjoying your house you live in? Do you enjoy the car you drive? Do you enjoy the streets we drive on in Austin, Texas? Do you enjoy all the things around Austin, Texas? Do you enjoy the state of Texas? Do you enjoy our nation called America? Do you enjoy the nations of the world around you? Are you enjoying the things God's put into your hands? Or do you find yourself so frazzled, so burned out, and so busy, you can't smell the roses and drink the coffee for all the things around you that distracts you from things like this in your life? The Bible tells us enjoying things around us is actually a gift from the Lord God. And I found that folks that gripe and complain and murmur the most are those that are too frazzled, they're too burned out, they're too busy, and they're too involved in things of the flesh. And so all that comes out of their mouths and hearts is griping, complaining, criticism, negative talk, negative thinking there. God wants your soul to become refreshed by bringing rest to your heart, rest to your body, and rest to your soul as well. Amen? I want to give you also one important secret this morning I found in a magazine that really bears witness to my heart to being true. A few months ago, I saw this. They found by research the best way to get out of depression and out of a kind of a black cloud mentality in your life is not eating chocolate. It is not a spa or a massage. It is not exercise. The best way to get out of depression and a black cloud of your face is get out your family photos and look at the pictures of your own family and loved ones. That every single time a smile comes on people's faces when they see old pictures of themselves, their husbands, their wives, their sons, their daughters, their families, and those they love in pictures before their face. So I'm telling you guys right now, my RX to you this morning is get out your family photos today if you need that. Look at all those pictures there. Let a smile come on your face. Be happy in God, what God's given you in this life, because people are the most important thing God's given us on the earth. Amen? Not our things, not our stuff, not our house, our home. It's the people God puts in our lives, brings a smile to our face, and brings joy to our hearts. Amen? Let's make it a prayer today to God. He gives us creative ideas and ways to save time on this earth. Let's look now at 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 Kings 19 about Elijah. We're going to see a story here about burnout, about being worn out. You might have heard this before in the past. I want to revisit this again today, the story of Elijah fighting Jezebel. 1 Kings 19, starting here in verse number 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. The Bible says Elijah has killed 450 prophets of Baal with his own bare hands and a sword. He has got his head between his knees in intercessory prayer on Mount Carmel, and he's prayed down water and rain from heaven. That's very, very tiring to do that. It's intercessory prayer to the nth degree. Your head's down between your legs. You're in a birthing position there, and you're praying, send the rain, send the rain, send the rain, and God sends the rain. Then he goes beyond that, the Bible says, and runs for 30 miles in front of the chariots and horses of the man named Ahab. Elijah is worn out. He is tired. So here comes 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Isn't he nice? Also, how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, so let the gods do to me, and even more also, if I don't make your life as the life of one of those Baal prophets by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose, he ran for his life, and he went up to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servants there. Verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came and sat down under a broom tree. He prayed that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. This is a man of God with the greatest victory of his entire life in one day. The next day he wants to die and be killed by the Lord God himself. He says, I am worn out. I have had enough. I am fed up. Just take my life. Just kill me. How many folks have been there in your life one day? One day can go like that sometimes. I'm like that once every hopefully 50, 30 years at the most, I hope. That's a bad day. Let's read verse 4 going on here. Verse 4, what it says. But he himself, it says, went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. And he said, it is enough. I'm sorry, I'm going to verse 5 now. Then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him again and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose, he ate, he drank, and he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Sometimes what we just need is some good food and some sleep and some entertainment. That's what he got that day. He got some sleep, he got some food, and he was entertained by the angel of God. If I see an angel come in my room like this, I'll be entertained mightily. Amen. I don't need a Schwarzenegger. I don't need any actress around me there. I just need an angel to come inside my room and manifest. It'll be entertaining to me enough, and I'll be refreshed very fast in my spirit, my soul. This guy got fed, this guy got bedded, and this guy got entertained. And this guy was blessed by the Lord in this way. So why are there so many people today that are stressed out, burned out, and worn out in the body of Christ? We're not taking time to find rest and find balance in our lives. I'm going to close a moment here. I want to have James go ahead and come back to the platform now. Just begin to play softly, James. I want us to revisit now, if we would, for a moment now, Psalms 23, the most powerful scriptures in the Bible about rest and about peace and about pastoral things as well. I love Psalm 23. We got Psalm 23 memorized. Most of us do today. In Psalm 23, it says, I'm going to cause you to lie down in green pastures. God gives you green pastures for your weariness. I'm going to cause you also to take and be led by still waters. God gives us still waters for the worries of life. I'm going to also cause you to take and have your soul restored. God gives us a restored soul for the wanderings of life. The Bible also says in Psalm 23, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Some of us do not cooperate with God a whole lot sometimes. We say, God, I'm going to burn the candle at both ends, come hell or high water. I'm going to work overtime. I'm going to love overtime. I'm going to go to church overtime. I'm going to do all things overtime. So what God does sometimes in His own way, God makes us lie down in green pastures. God does not bring to us sickness and disease by design. But God will sometimes allow things in our lives to take place that puts us in a place of rest and a place of peace and a place of tranquility and a place of neutrality if God must do that, because God knows we need that before we burn ourselves totally out in life and almost want to die. You know, sheep, when they lie down in green pastures, they chew their cud. They begin to regurgitate all the things they've eaten that day, bring it back up there and chew it all over again to say, I'm going to meditate on God's word now. All the things that God's done for me, I'm going to chew that cud and meditate upon God's goodness, God's kindness, God's love in my life. He gives us green pastures for our weariness. And also sheep will not drink from troubled waters. Sheep that are led by rushing waters won't put their heads down to drink. They're scared by that. They're troubled by that. They're worried by that. What the shepherd does, the shepherd takes his crook and puts it down in the water and makes a little eddy form there to calm the water down in a space. So the sheep can then see the calm, still waters and simply put his head down there and drink from those waters. God gives us peace and God gives us still waters for our worries. But also sheep sometimes wander off by themselves to become prey for wolves and lions and things around them out there in the wilderness. And the shepherd finds a sheep and brings the sheep back upon the back of his neck. If that sheep wanders again and again and again with the same old iniquities and habits, he finally gets that sheep and breaks one of those sheep's legs in mercy so the sheep can't walk very far any longer. The shepherd then takes that sheep every single day and picks that sheep up around his shoulders and carries the sheep around for days and days and days right near his chest, near his heart, near his shoulders. And the sheep gets healed, but the sheep learns how to not wander away like it did back in the past. God gives us a place of restoration for our soul, our broken bones, in place of weariness in our lives. I'm going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 18 in closing today. I'm going to pray. Ecclesiastes 5 and 18 tells us, here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage, and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. God says he wants you to be busy with only the joys of your heart from your labors, your work, the things you do in life to make a living. They must bring to you rejoicing, not pain, not agony, not anguish. Let's bow our head and close our eyes right now for a moment again today, this morning. The Holy Spirit's here today to take and bring us to a place of wisdom, a place of balance, a place of adjustment, perhaps. There might be some things that God wants to prune out of your life to give you more time for things that are important. And again, that might be computer things. It may be telephone things. It might be texting things, Facebook things. It might be driving things. It might be hobbies. Those things are between you and God. But my prayer this morning is, Holy Spirit, show us things you want us to lay down or adjust or bring balance to that. We no longer find ourselves being burned out, being worn out, being fatigued by having a lack of time, by being too busy upon the face of this earth. Let our business, O God, be full of joy, not full of bondage, not full of frustration, not full of anguish. And I praise you, O God, this day that you're the God of balance, that you're the God of wisdom, the God of strength, the God of might. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed this morning, I want to ask, how many of you will choose to call upon God this day?